Now our view dives into a burrow as titles appear. Matt Lucas as Toad, Mark Gatiss as Rat, Lee Ingleby as Mole, and Bob Hoskins as Badger. In the burrow, a man wearing a brown fur coat balances on a chair as he yanks on a root growing down from the ceiling. Candles illuminate the earthen room's table and chairs, narrow bed and faded rug. A fire glows in the hearth. The man, Mole, pulls the root free and falls. Sitting up, he shakes himself off. His dark hair covers his ears.
Oh, blah.
Dirt speckles Mole's long, pointy nose. He grabs a dangling root to pull himself up, but the root comes crashing down. He scrambles to his feet.
Hang spring cleaning! I'm sick of it.
Sniffing the air, he lifts his gaze to a hole the missing roots left in the ceiling. Sunshine streams in from the blue sky above. Mole steps into the light and breathes in.
Fresh air.
With his hairy, clawed hands, he digs himself out of the burrow. Resting on a molehill, he squints in the bright sunlight. His surroundings come into focus. Lush trees border a sprawling field of yellow and purple wildflowers.
My, oh my.
Mole inhales deeply, then looks out at a range of distant hills behind him.
Oh!
He scratches his shaggy dark hair, then climbs out of the molehill. With butterflies flying overhead, he starts across the field and reaches up toward the bright blue sky. A title appears, Kenneth Graham's The Wind in the Willows.
This certainly beats spring cleaning. To think I've been down in my hall and not out here.
Mole smiles with a mouthful of crooked yellow teeth, then smells a flower with his pointed nose. He watches a butterfly flit around him, then freezes.
Goodness, what the devil's that?
A wooden fence stands at one end of the field. Mole slips and fumbles as he climbs over it. Titles continue. Imelda Staunton as Barge Lady, Jim Carter as Engine Driver, Anna Maxwell Martin as Jailer's Daughter, with Mary Walsh as Washerwoman, and Michael Murphy as Judge. Producer Michael Prupas. Co-producer Charlotte Ashby. Written by Lee Hall. Produced by Gub Neal. Directed by Rachel Talele. Catching his breath, Mole steadies himself on the other side of the fence. Later, he ambles past leafy shrubs and cat-o'-nine-tails. He stops, gaping at a peaceful river lined with yellow trees.
Oh.
Mole stands on a small wooden dock with an empty rowboat.
Would you look at that? Oh.
He shifts his weight excitedly, then squints at the river. Large bubbles ripple the water's surface. Eyes wide, Mole starts to run, then glances over his shoulder. A man with buck teeth and a whiskered mustache emerges from the water. He locks eyes with Mole, who edges back.
You all right?
The whiskered man climbs out and dries off his striped long johns.
I hope you don't mind me asking, but is this, is it a river?
Of course it's a river.
Yes.
Never seen one before.
Oh, yes. Yes, no, yes. I said no.
Oh. Do you care to join me for a row?
Mole looks nervously at the rowboat.
Just fetch my togs.
Later, the whiskered man sits in the boat as Mole climbs in backwards.
Give me your hand.
Mole grips his hand and tumbles into the boat. He jumps up, wobbling, and swings his arms for balance as the boat rocks unsteadily.
It helps if you sit down.
Mole shoots over a hesitant look, then grips the sides of the boat and swings himself into a cushioned seat. The whiskered man smiles and extends his hand.
Rat.
They shake hands.
Mole.
I haven't seen you around these parts before, have I?
No, I'm generally underground. I rarely go outdoors. When I do, I try to stick to within a few yards of a molehill.
Rat rows the boat down the river.
I've never been in a boat before.
Really? What on earth do you do with your time? Believe me, my friend, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, half so much worth doing as simply messing about in boats. Huh? In 'em, out of 'em, doesn't really matter. Nothing seems to matter when you're in a boat. Listen, if you've nothing else on, perhaps you could take a trip downriver together, make a day of it. There's a hamper in the boat, a soft wind in the willows. There's more to life than living down a hole.
Mole smiles agreeably.
Tuck in. Cold chicken, cold ham, cold beef, cress sandwiches, French rolls, potted meat, ginger beer, lemonade, G&T, just a few meagre provisions.
Mole gobbles up a sandwich.
What have you?
Rat hands him a drink.
That's my house, right here on the river.
A cottage with a pier.
You actually live right by it?
By it, with it, on it, and in it. It is brother and sister to me, aunts and uncles, food and drink. What it hasn't got just isn't worth having. There are floods in February and lovely dry patches in the August heat.
They slowly float down the river. In the distance, birds circle above a shadowy forest. Mole taps Rat, who nibbles a bowl of salad.
What? What's that?
Mid-chew, Rat drops his bowl. His hands shake beneath his twitching nose.
Oh, that's nothing. That's just the wild wood. We don't get over there much, us riverbankers.
Looks a bit scary to me. Does anybody live there?
The weasels and the foxes. Badger, of course. He lives at the heart of it. No one would want to meddle with him. The only person around here with any real authority.
So, what's beyond the wildwood?
The wild world, of course. But you wouldn't want to go there, so please don't ever mention it again.
Rat garnishes a glass with a lemon wedge.
Chin chin.
They toast.
Out of the way, landlubbers!
A portly man rows past in a skull boat and nearly tips them.
What on earth was that?
The man smiles.
That, I'm afraid, was Toad and his current fad for sculling.
Wasn't it a bit dangerous?
Oh, absolutely. Don't worry, won't last. First it was bicycling, but he soon grew tired of that. Then it was hot air ballooning.
No, I've got to say, he did look rather impressive.
He's a perfectly nice fellow, really. No stability whatsoever, particularly in a boat. It's only a matter of time before he's onto something else.
Mole spits out his drink.
Come along, then.
Oh, right, could I, you know...
Mole pretends to row.
Have a go.
Not yet. Wait till you've had a few left.
If a toad can do it, then...
They fight over an oar.
Stop it, you silly ass! The lamb is over!
They fall into the river. Mole thrashes about as Rat floats calmly and the boat drifts away.
Silly ass.
Later, Rat lounges as Mole rows the boat.
All along the backwater, through the rushes tall, ducks are dabbling up tails all.
Are you sure it's a good time to call on Mr. Toad?
It's never a bad time to call on Mr. Toad. Early or late, he's the same fellow. Always glad to see you. Always completely impossible.
Here we are.
They dock next to Toad's grounded skull boat. Mole stares at a manor house.
Oh, he must be very rich. What does he do?
Anything he likes, unfortunately. Inherited it all from his father. Gets him in no end of bother.
Hey, I wonder what happened here.
He touches the skull boat.
If you ask me, I think he's tired of boating and will have some other mania to contend with.
Toad flounces over wearing a plaid three-piece suit. He has a bald head, warts, and blotchy skin.
Hello, Toad.
Toad hugs him fiercely. Toad pinches his cheeks.
My good new friend, Mr. Mole.
Splendid!
Toad pumps Mole's hand.
Lovely house, Mr. Toad.
Lovely? It's not lovely, it's magnificent. Finest house on the river. Finest in all England, or anywhere else for that matter. Why would one ever leave? I'm not going to be modest about it. I've got nothing to be modest about.
Oh, animals, animals, I'm so pleased you came. I need your assistance.
With your boat?
Boats? Heavens no, Mr.
Moore.
Silly, boyish amusements. I gave up boating a long time ago. Oh, it makes me downright sorry to see two fellows wasting time on such an aimless activity. You shall see. It will change your life forever. I have discovered the only genuine occupation and propose to devote the remainder of my days to the pursuit of it.
Now Toad shows them a caravan wagon.
There's real life for you. Oh, the open road, the dusty highway, the hedgerows, the rolling downs, hamlets, villages, cities, towns, hill one day, up and off to somewhere else tomorrow.
Well, I thought you said you never wanted to leave Toad Hall.
Travel, change, excitement. The whole world before you, an horizon always changing. And this is perhaps the finest cart ever built.
Toad throws supplies to Mole.
Biscuits, potted lobsters, sardines, everything a mole could want. Letter paper, bacon, jam, dominoes, a bunk for you, a sort of hole down here for you, Ratty,
and I shall sleep up here.
He sits on a bunk.
We shall set off together on our new life this very afternoon.
This afternoon?
The open road, yes. Travel, change, excitement, etc.
Oh, don't tell me you mean to stick to the dull old riverbank all your life.
But I don't want to see the world. I'm not going anywhere. And Mole is staying with me. That, I'm afraid, is that.
But it will be so thrilling. Our hearts will run free. England will be ours. Our roof will be the stars. And the road under our wheels, our path to eternal liberation.
Absolutely not.
He grabs Mole.
Over my dead body.
Now the three friends ride the caravan down a country road.
My, oh my!
This is a life, eh? The open road. Free from all the cares of the world, yeah.
Rat stares down wearily as Mole grins and Toad steers the horse pulling the caravan. Mole and Toad wave to a woman along the road.
Oh, Mole, my inseparable companion, these are the days, Molely. These are the days!
He puts his arm around Mole. Later, Mole adopts Rat's bored gaze.
Life on the open road, with Mole and Rat and Toad. The gentle pace befits the place, as the ancients know. As nature it has taught, the best of all transport is a caravan without a plan. It's better far than sport.
A passing motor car almost hits them. Their horse rears and breaks free, dragging Toad down the road behind it. Toad loses his grip and the horse gallops off. Rat shakes his fist after the car.
Roadhogs!
Oh, Mr. Toad?
Toad sits motionless in the middle of the road with his lips quivering.
You all right, Mr. Toad? Mr. Toad, are you all right?
Mole waves his hand in front of Toad's glazed-over eyes. Toad mumbles.
Ratty?
Mole signals to Rat, who hurries over.
Pop, pop.
Rat peers at his friend.
Toad, speak to me.
Pop, pop.
Don't worry, I will make an official complaint.
Complain? You absolute ass. About that swan, that sunbeam? You might as well complain about the seasons.
Oh, no. I have seen the future. And it is a motor car! Boom, boom! The poetry of motion. Oh, how many flowery tracks lie spread before me. What dust clouds shall spring up behind me as I speed my reckless past? What horrid little caravan shall be flung into ditches as I pass? Boop, boop!
Now Toad drives a motor car.
Boop, boop!
Our view sails overhead. Toad's sleek, open-top car zips through a map of the countryside. He barrels through a busy village. A man pushes a woman out of the car's path. Grinning wildly, Toad races back toward home. The map of the countryside spins dizzily. At Toad Hall, he careens around a rotary. Wearing a tweed suit with driving goggles and a long scarf, Toad drives around and around, sending up a cloud of dust behind him. Rat and Mole cower as they watch from the rotary's island. Toad presses the gas pedal with one of his long feet, then shifts gears. A smile lifts Toad's plump cheeks. Suddenly, he frowns at the gear shift and steps on the pedals. He loses control of the car. Rat and Mole shield their eyes. A car wheel rolls past. Rat covers Mole's anxious face. Toad sits by a fountain with his smashed-up car. Now, in autumn, Mole walks with Rat.
Oh, this is dreadful. Come on, Moley.
He's not really going to buy another car, is he?
There's no stopping him once he's got the bit between his teeth.
I really don't think we should be doing this.
If we don't do something about Toad, he's going to end up killing himself or something. And you said yourself, Badger was the only one that could deal with him, so
come on, let's go.
Rat and Mole approach the wild wood. Stoats and weasels, people with shadowy faces, whiskers and slicked back hair, peek out at them between fallen trees and brambles.
It looks awfully dark in there.
I really think this is a bad idea.
What? It doesn't look that wild to me. Come on.
Mole charges in. Rat takes a step forward, then gulps and stares up at the wood's towering orange-leafed trees. A falling leaf turns into a snowflake as winter settles in. Nighttime. The friends trudge through a snowstorm in the woods. Mole pulls his coat closed, and Rat stops to button up his own.
Oh, Ratty, Ratty, this way, come on.
Mole disappears down a path. Rat finishes with his coat and looks up.
Mole?
On the path, Mole stuffs on a hat.
This way, Ratty, this way.
He glances back, then stops, searching the shadows.
Ratty? Ratty?
Mole looks from the ground up to the treetops. He hunkers down, grimacing fearfully, then nibbles at his thick black claws.
Ratty!
Rat hikes on another snowy path.
Moley!
Mole looks around, shadows flickering across his face. He holds a walking stick out in front of him protectively as he searches. Just a few yards away, Rat inches down a path.
Ratty!
Mole trembles under the gaze of lurking weasels.
Where are you, Ratty?
A weasel jumps out from behind a pine tree. Elsewhere, Rat stands in shadows.
Mole! Mole!
Mole ducks from a cloud of blowing snow. Meanwhile, Rat leans on a walking stick as he hikes. Mole creeps around a tree with a thick, knotty trunk as big as a house.
Ratty!
Mole trips into Rat's path.
Oh, Moley!
Mole stands up and clings to his friend.
Ratty! Oh, I'm so scared I can't think straight.
Oh, you've really done it this time, Moley. I told you you shouldn't have come here. We're going to die in this forest and it's all your fault.
A stoat spies on them. Shrinking back, Mole trips.
Get up!
Mole uncovers a metal frame in the snow.
Look, I tripped over a door scraper in the middle of the wood. What's a door scraper doing in the middle of the wood? I could have broken my leg on that.
Oh, thank goodness.
Rat brushes snow off the thick tree.
Didn't you see what the speed was saved?
No, well, because you can't really eat the door scraper.
It's absolute clot. Look!
The tree has a door.
Badger!
We're safe!
Mole hugs Rat and dances around.
Ring the bell!
Mole rings the doorbell. Inside, Badger, a stoop-shouldered man in a dressing gown, walks down a tunnel.
Go away!
Rat shivers and Mole fidgets impatiently.
Should I try again?
No. We don't want to appear rude.
They spot more stoats watching them. They bang on the door.
Badger, open this door!
An owl flies past.
Badger, open the door!
No way!
It's me, Ratty!
What? Speak up!
It's Ratty!
It's
Ratty!
Go away!
Badger stands just inside the door.
Please, Badger, open the door!
I've warned you.
He rolls up his sleeves over his meaty arms. As Rat and Mole cower, Badger bursts out right past them. The stoats retreat. Badger draws his wrinkled face into a snarl. A white streak runs down the center of his gray hair. He stares at Rat and Mole.
Ratty! Why didn't you say it was you? Come inside, bring your friend.
They follow Badger into his tree, and Rat shuts the door.
Come in, for goodness sake. There's a first-rate fire, there's a supper on the stove and everything, and there's some spare dressing gowns that should fit you. Somewhere.
They enter a parlor.
Get those wet clothes off. Let's get you sorted.
Look at this. Look at all this.
A kitchen full of food.
Yeah, just a few things for winter. What I don't understand is what you were doing in the wild woods this late at night. Don't you know that this place is crawling with stoats and weasels at this time?
He hands them dressing gowns.
Ratty had told me all about you. How you were grumpy and grizzly and...
Rat raises his eyebrows at Mole.
How you were the only one that could control Mr. Toad.
What?
Mole leans closer to him.
Mr. Toad.
Toad! What's he done now?
Mole digs into a bowl of food from Badger.
He has at last discovered the thrills of motoring and has already had several major smash-ups.
It's only a matter of time before somebody is seriously hurt.
How many has he had?
Smashes.
Cars.
It amounts to the same thing, really. This will be the 7th. The whole of Toad Hall is littered with bits of broken motor car. He's only been driving 3 months. Yeah,
he's been in hospital 4 times. And the fines.
He may be rich, but he's not a millionaire.
Well, we can't do anything right now. Not in the off-season. Anything strenuous or even moderately heroic is quite out of the question.
But he'll be killed if we wait till spring.
No, I think Mr. Badger's right. I think we should wait, because I'm a bit tired.
But this is ridiculous.
No. Everything has its time and its season. I promise I'll deal with Toad. But only once the year has turned. If you ask me, it's high time this young fellow was asleep as well. But I trust you are going to stay.
Haven't you just got up?
Exactly. It's winter time.
Badger heads upstairs. Mole finishes his bowl and releases a deep sigh.
I told you this is a pointless exercise.
Mole falls asleep.
Hurry up, past 6.
Rat slumps into a leather armchair. Now at home, Toad reads a newspaper called Motoring Times in the bathtub.
Bob, Bob! Out of the way, Roadhog!
Now in his garage, Toad sits behind the wheel of a green motor car. A gentleman stands by watching.
Yes, excellent. Yes, this should go very nicely in my collection. Yeah.
If I could just show you.
Toad pushes the man away. Now sunlight brightens the snow-covered wild wood. At Badger's, Rat and Mole sleep by the fire. Mole snuggles under a blanket as Rat twitches his whiskered mustache in his sleep. Mole opens one eye and scratches his head. Behind him, 2 boys with spiky blonde hair raid the kitchen, filling their pockets with fruit and bread. Mole looks at them with drowsy eyes. He starts to lie back down, then whips up, gaping. He claps Rat on the shoulder and abruptly wakes him. Rat flinches and glances around as Mole points to the kitchen. Rat frowns at the boys.
Who are you?
Hedgehogs!
What are you doing here?
We was trying to get home from school, sir, but we lost our way in the snow.
He prompts his brother.
It's terrible bad outside, sir. And Mr. Badger makes such nice porridge.
Sir, we were so bold, sir, as to knock.
Yes, less of the sir, if you don't mind. Where is he now?
Went to his study, sir. On account as he was particularly busy.
He said he was not to be disturbed.
What's going on here?
Badger comes downstairs.
It's like Didscombe Station. Can't anyone hibernate anymore? What are you two still doing here?
We were just finishing our porridge, sir.
Look, off you go now. Home to your mother.
He takes a spoon from one boy's hand.
Yes, you'll be eating me out of house and home. There's... 6 pence each. Ooh, and then go spending it all at once. Off you go.
Thank you, Mr. Badger.
Yes.
The hedgehogs trot out.
Scallywags.
Time for you to be heading home. Get your stuff.
Rat and Mole collect their coats and bags.
Now, if you go to the end of this tunnel, right to the end, you come out at the edge of the wild wood.
Right.
And try to leave me alone until springtime.
Thanks ever so much, Badger.
Badger shakes their hands firmly.
Sorry. Delicate little fellow. Bye.
Rat and Mole leave.
Bed.
Now outside.
No, I don't like nature in the rough. At all. No, I think I'm more of a creature of tilled fields and hedgerows, and I've had enough of adventure to last me a lifetime.
As Mole leads the way, Rat glances back with a relieved sigh.
Civilization at last.
They hike down a snowy trench leading out of the wood. Now the winter snow melts away, revealing springtime fields of lush grass. On a dirt road, Toad drives a shiny red motor car with a silver hood ornament shaped like a toad. He wears driving goggles and a red plaid suit. He grips the wheel and speeds ahead. Dirt rises in his wake. Now on Rat's pier, Rat and Mole enjoy a breakfast of tea and eggs as Badger trudges over.
Mr. Badger.
Come on. There's no time to waste. I said I'd take him in hand once the winter was over. The hour has come. Let's go.
Toad.
They hurry off with Badger.
Yes. The hour of Toad. I have learnt that this very morning a new and exceedingly powerful motor car arrived at Toad Hall. And Toad is at this very moment donning singularly hideous habiliments. We must be up and doing before it's too late.
Well, what do you think we should do?
What?
What do you think we should do?
We will convert him. Going to teach him to be a sensible toad and save the unfortunate animal from himself.
Toad drives through and nearly hits them.
He'll be the most converted toad there ever was by the time I'm finished with him.
Now, outside Toad Hall, Toad signs a paper for a workman.
Thank you.
Another worker carries out chairs.
Oh, what a beautiful spring day.
Rat, Mole, and Badger stride to the hall with determined steps. Badger growls and puckers his mouth angrily.
Oh, hello, fellows.
What do you think of the new motor, eh?
Had to sell all my chairs, but who cares? I love standing up.
Toad frowns at them.
Is anything the matter?
Take him inside.
Rat and Mole grab Toad by his arms. He struggles as they drag him into the hall where a worker carries away a portrait of him.
What is the meaning of this scandalous outrage?
Take off the driving suit. You won't be needing it today or any other day.
Certainly not.
Take them off for him, then.
Toad shoves off Rat and Mole.
Me, the unconscionable knave, Bankside pleb.
Oh, look, a shark.
He diverts their gazes and slips away. Rat and Mole chase him.
Run that way!
They run around a long table. As Toad darts past, Mole hooks arms with him and they spin around. Rat catches them. Badger glowers. They pull Toad behind a staircase and toss out his driving goggles, gloves, and hat. Rat and Mole tumble out from behind the stairs. Later, Toad breaks free and they drag him back in. Then Rat comes out wearing Toad's suit. Later, Toad's shoe, scarf, and suit come sailing out. Rat and Mole stagger out past the pile of clothes on the floor. Rat's hair is mussed, and Mole clutches Toad's other shoe. Pouting, Toad comes out with his plump body clad in long johns.
So, you are no longer the terror of the highways. You knew it had to come to this sooner or later. You disregarded our warnings, squandered every last penny your father left you. Independence is all very well, but you have become a public nuisance. I am going to give you one last chance, Toad. You will meet me in the smoking room, where we will discuss this like gentlemen.
As Badger steps away, Toad musters a haughty frown and follows him. Toad backs up to Mole and extends his hand expectantly. Mole hands over the shoe and Toad continues on. Sighing, Rat shoves his hands into his trouser pockets.
it's no good. Talking to Toad will never cure him.
Poor Toad.
All he did was drive a little recklessly.
Rat and Mole creep up to the smoking room's arched door and lean in closely. Puckering his lips, Mole trades a glance with Rat, who crouches down to the keyhole. They bolt to the table and sit down with feigned casualness. As Badger guides Toad out of the smoking room, Rat and Mole shift anxiously in their seats. Toad stands before them, shoulders slumped, and licks his lips. His face brightens with a smile.
Well, it went very well, actually.
Toad. Contrition.
Toad's lips quiver, and he takes a hard swallow.
My friends, I have deeply wronged you. I have wronged myself and the whole of amphibian kind. I am sorry. No. I am more than sorry. I am pleased to inform you that I have seen the error of my ways, my gross offenses, my hideous transgressions. And I promise to never, ever, 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 not ever, 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 to ever, ever ride a motor car ever again.
Mole smiles hopefully.
Ever again.
Rat looks down as Badger beams.
Promise?
Promise.
Right, well, this is all very good news, isn't it?
If only it were true. Of course it's true. He told me himself he had seen the folly of his ways.
Right, so it is true.
Badger nods.
No, of course it's not true. I'm not sorry, and it wasn't folly. It was absolutely glorious.
You backsliding monster.
I've decided I'm not repentant and never will be.
So you don't promise never to touch another motor car again?
No, and what's more, the first car I see, boop, boop, I'll ride off in it.
That's it. Take him upstairs, you two. Lock him up in his bedroom.
Now Rat and Mole shut Toad into the bedroom, but Toad opens the door.
Look, killjoys!
They shut the door and he opens it again.
Jonathan Prince! No, it's completely gone.
In!
Toad shrinks back from Badger, who locks him into the bedroom.
Yes. I've never seen him this determined. We'll have to take turns guarding him until the poison's worn out of him.
He hands Mole the bedroom key. Mole passes it to Rat, who quickly returns it to Badger. Rat and Mole run off.
I see.
Mole sits watch near the shaking door. Later, Rat lounges by the door in a sunbeam. On his watch, Mole peeks into a keyhole next to the door's toad-shaped handle. Toad stares back at him. Mole jumps up, knocking into a suit of armor stationed outside the door. Later, Rat takes a turn. At night, Mole naps by the door. Daytime. Rat and Mole huddle.
What do you think? Maybe he's calmed down.
Rat nods and motions them to the door. They approach with light steps. Mole holds a finger to his lips for quiet, then bends down to the keyhole and looks in. Toad pretends his bathtub is a car.
It's a train! It's a train!
He throws himself near a train set, then looks through a spyglass.
Ship ahoy!
He yells into a gramophone.
Boom, 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 boom! I'm being attacked by a cushion!
He throws things at himself.
By a shoe! I'm being attacked by my foot!
Later, Badger carries out Toad's toys in a wicker basket and leaves them in the hallway. Mole sidles over to the contraband, eagerly wiggles his claws, and reaches for a toy.
Moody.
Mole draws back and hangs his head. Later, Badger sleeps on guard duty with a book open on his lap. Rat walks up and taps him awake.
Ah,
he shuts the book and stands.
He's still in bed.
Doesn't seem to be up to much. Just lying there listless.
He hands over the key and Rat peeks into the bedroom. Toad lies sprawled on his bed. Rat shrugs to Badger.
Perhaps he's given in.
Careful. This is when he is at his most artful.
Rat holds up the key.
Later.
Ta-ta.
Once alone, Rat moves Badger's chair aside and stares through the keyhole. Toad lies in bed with the covers pulled up to his chin. He heaves a melodramatic sigh. Rat turns from the door. Wrinkling his forehead thoughtfully, he taps the key against his buck teeth. Rat unlocks the door. He steps into the bedroom.
Hello, Toad. How are you today, old chap?
Very weak. Very weak indeed.
Rat sits on the bed.
Mole and Badger have gone to the pictures, so I thought I'd come and keep you company.
Dear, kind Rat, I feel I will never be well again. But don't trouble yourself about me. The last thing I want is to be a burden to my very dear friends.
You know I'd take any trouble in the world for you if you'd only be a more sensible animal.
If I really thought you meant it, I would ask you right now to run and fetch me a doctor. But don't bother. I don't wish to put you out.
Why do you need a doctor?
Surely you have noticed. No, why would you? Tomorrow you will see. Indeed, if only I had noticed. But, no, forget that I asked. It's probably not fatal.
Look here, old man. I can't let you suffer like this. I'll go at once.
Please do call in on the priest and have him come here.
The priest?
Well, just in case the doctor can't help.
Don't you worry, Toad. I'll return immediately.
Rat runs out.
You will hurry, won't you?
Toad's head lolls to one side. Rat locks in Toad, then grabs his things. Inside, Toad throws back the covers. He's dressed in his three-piece suit. On his feet, Toad hurls a rope of knotted bedsheets out a window. He hops up to the ledge with his legs bowed out like a toad's. Outside, he climbs down the rope as it dangles in front of Toad Hall. Grimacing, he clings to the swaying rope. Rat walks out of the front door a few yards below the rope. Toad kicks up the end of the sheets as Rat dons a Panama hat and glances around. Rat strides off. Toad drops down to the ground. He straightens his jacket and prances off down a wooded footpath. Toad wears red lipstick, and dark makeup transforms his warts into beauty marks.
Brains one, fourth nil.
Toad spots a sign that reads, Red Lion, 1 mile.
Just the ticket.
Now at Toad Hall, Rat, Mole, Badger, and a doctor stare at Toad's escape route.
You blithering idiot.
Rat grins nervously. Now in a dingy pub, two men puff on pipes as Toad sashays in with a limp wrist.
Your full English breakfast with kidneys and sweetbreads and your finest bottle of porter, please, barman.
The grizzled bartender nods. Toad minces over to a table and frog hops onto a cushioned booth. His feet dangle above the floor. A patron glances over at him. Toad frowns, then puckers his lips excitedly and looks out the window. The motor car that nearly hit his caravan parks outside. Toad grins. He mimes steering a car, then mumbles, no. Toad mimes again, then waves it off. The couple driving the car walk in. They step to the bar.
Morning. Tea for two in the back room, please. After you, dear.
Now outside, Toad walks by the car, a green roadster with sideboards and a raised convertible top. Hesitating, he glances around, then leans closer and sniffs the car.
Yes.
He checks around him.
Well, there's no harm in looking.
With a lick of his lips, Toad climbs into the car and slides his large belly behind the steering wheel.
I wonder if this is a sort of car that starts easily.
He turns a key left in the ignition.
Oh. Oh. I had a dream. Oh.
Toad drives off. The couple runs out as Toad careens through a market. Toad speeds down a country lane. Now Toad appears in a black and white car racing film. He pretends to compete.
This is freedom. This is living. This is propulsion into the modern world.
Toad barrels toward a tree. He wakes up, sprawled inside the crashed motor car. A few pine cones and needles are scattered over him. Now in a courtroom, Toad smirks at a judge and his clerks. One clerk naps on the bench.
To my mind, the only difficulty that presents itself in this otherwise very clear case is how we can make it sufficiently severe for this incorrigible rogue and hardened ruffian we now see cowering in the dock before us. He has been found guilty of stealing a car, driving to the public danger, and gross insubordination to the rural police. Mr. Clark, can you tell me what is the stiffest penalty we can impose?
Well, clearly stealing a motor car is the most grave offence, but cheeking the police undoubtedly carries the most severe penalty. So we could say 12 months for the theft, 3 years for the furious driving, and 15 for the pretty bad sort of cheek, which is, by my reckoning, Your Honour, tots up to 19 years.
First rate.
So we should round that up to a straight 20, just to be on the safe side.
An excellent suggestion, Clark. 20 years it is, then. Carried unanimously.
20 years? No. No.
Two police constables drag Toad away in chains.
No! This is injustice!
Now light snow falls as Toad stares through the barred window of a police wagon. Two white horses pull the wagon through a gate toward an imposing castle. Now Rat fishes with Mole and Badger outside his home. Badger eyes a lure bobbing in the water.
Ah, here it comes.
Oh!
They lean forward eagerly as the lure inches downriver. It stops, and the friends settle back in their chairs.
I wish Mr. Toad was here. 20 years. It's gonna kill him to be locked up for so long.
I think it'll teach him a damn good lesson.
Well, he's very resilient. I'm sure he'll make the best of everything.
Now Toad sits in a dungeon.
Oh, this is the end of everything! It's the end of Toad. Popular, handsome Toad. Rich, debonair Toad. Generous and carefree Toad. So kind and hospitable. How can I hope to ever be set large again? Hello? Who's there? Wise old badger. Clever, intelligent rat. What sensible little mole.
It's only me.
A young woman with stringy hair.
I'm the jailer's daughter. I've got the keys off my dad. I couldn't bear to see anyone so unhappy, so I brought you some bubble and squeak.
Bubble and squeak. A lifetime of roast beef will be no compensation.
Please, Your Bessie.
She strides out.
Hang on. Oh, where have you got to?
It's all right. I'll eat it myself.
Come back, come back. At least it's a start.
If you are going to be rude, you can forget all about it.
Oh, I won't be rude. Ever again. Honest.
Toad folds his arms.
Okay.
Smiling, the jailer's daughter returns with her tray of food.
I'll let you have some bread.
She gives him a thick piece.
Oh, the smell of warm kitchens. Hot breakfasts on bright, frosty mornings. Cozy
pie. You can eat here, what?
Toad nibbles the bread, then smiles and jumps up.
That's right. I feel myself once again. Venerable Toad. Great, wise, remarkably handsome Toad of Toad Hall.
Do you live in a hall?
Not just any hall. It is an eligible, self-contained gentleman's residence, dating in part from the 14th century, replete with every modern convenience, up-to-date sanitation, and only 5 minutes from the church, post office, and the golf links.
I was mildly curious.
They don't want to buy it.
Then where do you live, perchance, delicate creature?
Oh, I share a room upstairs with my father and my six brothers and sisters.
Oh, well, we can't all be toads. Oh, what fun we had. Ratty, Mole, and me.
Are you friends with a rat?
Friends? We are inseparable companions. Knights Templar against the modern world.
I really like rats, me. Not as pets or nothing. I think it's wrong to keep things in cages.
How true. No animal in this world should be caged. How we should all run free, unfettered by the manacles of small minds and bigotry of creatures larger than oneself.
You are so right, Mr. Toad. Let me plump up your straw for you. There you are.
She puts some straw on Toad's lap, then sits beside him.
Just think. Only 19 years, 364 days to go.
Toad grimaces. The jailer's daughter kisses his splotchy cheek.
Ta-da!
She leaves. Now Rat and Mole relax in a meadow.
You know, I'm finding it really hard to enjoy myself when I think about Toad in his dungeon. I know he brought it all on himself, but I can't help but think that life is less than it ought to be without him.
If I were you, I'd enjoy the peace and quiet. By past experience, I don't think Toad will be in there for long.
Mole sits up.
But he's been locked away for 20 years.
The rules that apply to you and me somehow just don't apply to Toad. You'll see.
I think it's time we turned in.
See, I don't feel tired at all. Oh, hey! Why don't we get the boat out and ride upstream?
But it's nearly dark.
Well, the moon will be out soon enough. See, I've got this yearning just to be here with nature. Don't you feel it too?
Rat raises his eyebrows.
To be under the moonlight, floating free. What's the point in freedom if we never really use it?
All right.
Nighttime. As they drift down river in the rowboat, Mole touches the reflection of bright stars in the water.
I've never stayed out an entire night before. Look how the meadow's changed by moonlight. It's like a land made of silver. Must be nearly dawn.
Rat snuggles back in the rowboat and Mole lies down beside him. Now morning sunlight streams over the castle jail. In the dungeon, Toad sleeps on a hard, straw-covered bed, wearing a faded yellow uniform with arrows on it. He wakes as the jailer's daughter runs up to the bars.
Mr. Toad! I've been thinking about what you said about incarceration and, people being free and such like.
Yes?
Well, I want to say, you know...
She casts a furtive look over her shoulder.
I have an aunt who is a washerwoman.
She smiles pointedly, revealing rotten yellow teeth.
Well, we all have our crosses to bear. I myself have several aunts who ought to be washerwomen.
No!
Frowning, she steps to a higher vantage.
I'm trying to tell you something.
I think you'll have to be clearer.
I have an aunt who's a washerwoman for the prison. She visits every week on a Friday. Today is a Thursday. You get my drift?
Well, does she want a commemorative plaque?
Mr. Toad, you are very rich, as you endlessly tell me, and she is very poor. Now, I believe if she was properly approached, she would, for a certain fee, lend you her costume so you can escape.
Toad springs up.
What? Dress as a washerwoman?
But in many respects, you're very similar. Particularly about the figure.
How dare you! I have a very elegant figure for a toad.
So is my aunt. For a washerwoman. Maybe that's not the point. You horrid, ungrateful animal. I'm only trying to help you.
Horrid and ungrateful, is it? I'm the one locked here in a dungeon, and you'd have me parade up and down the country dressed as a washerwoman.
Fine! Stay here as a toad, then!
The jailer's daughter storms off. His eyes widening, Toad rushes forward.
Wait! Wait!
She stops.
Good, kind, beautiful girl. Oh, you are so right. I am a putrid and ungrateful Toad. Oh, please, I would love to roam the world dressed in rags. Do introduce me to your excellent relative, and I will arrange terms satisfactory to all parties.
Later, she brings in her aunt.
Oh, what in the name of God is that hideous creature?
The washerwoman spits into a bucket.
Madam, let me inform you, I am Toad of Toad Hall.
Well, I don't care who you are. I'm not stripping myself of my essentials for that odious beast.
I'll give you a sovereign.
Toad offers a gold coin. Smiling, the jailer's daughter leaves. The washerwoman takes the coin.
Ooh, that isn't even enough to get me to loosen me cap strings.
She snatches another offered coin.
Nope.
Toad hands over one more. The washerwoman considers the coin in her grimy fingers. Hairs sprout from a wart on her chin.
All right. But I want this back in exactly the same condition I gave it to you in.
She wipes her nose on her shawl.
One more thing. I'd like you to tie me up.
What?
I'd like you to tie me up.
Tie you up?
To prove that you robbed me. I wouldn't like to appear suspicious.
It'll be a pleasure, madam.
Later, Toad wears her clothes as he ties her up.
Ow!
Well, you did say to make it look convincing. Besides, I have a reputation to protect as a desperate and dangerous fellow.
And I said tying up, not amputate.
He stuffs a rag in her mouth.
Oh, thank the Lord for that.
Now the jailer's daughter and Toad peek through a door at a sleeping guard, then slip out. Toad gestures for quiet. The jailer's daughter adds a straw bonnet to Toad's washerwoman outfit, then hands him a basket of laundry. As he tiptoes out, she grins and waves goodbye. Outside, Toad bustles past a gallows, shielding his face with the laundry. A guard pinches his bottom as he passes by.
You rascal.
Another guard blocks Toad's path to the gate.
No. Sorry, I must...
He squints at Toad's rouged face, then nods to the gatekeeper.
All right.
Toad smiles.
Good day to you, madam.
Thank you kindly, sir.
Toad rushes through the open gate onto a sunlit cobblestone path that leads to the countryside. Now he struts through a village empty-handed. He holds a hand to his ear.
Trains!
Now at a railway station, Toad waits in line at a ticket window.
Thank you.
He steps to the front.
I'm a ticket to Toad Hall, if you'd be so kind.
Sure.
Toad Hall.
That'll be a farthing.
Toad frowns.
Oh.
As he searches his pockets, the gentlemen behind him in line shift impatiently. Toad finds a yellowed handkerchief, then rejects it with a scowl. The ticket seller wrinkles his forehead as Toad pulls out a box of matches. Toad digs around and comes up with a crust of bread.
I say, hurry it up there,
hello,
would you?
What seems to be the problem?
Look here, I find I left my purse behind. Just give me that ticket, will you? And I'll have someone send you the money tomorrow. I think you'll find I'm very well known in these parts.
I don't doubt it. Trying to pull a stunt like that?
Have you any idea who you are talking to?
Out of the way, my good woman. I have a train to catch.
Hurry up.
Come on.
A gentleman shoves him aside with his umbrella. As more commuters jostle Toad down the crowded platform, his lips quiver tearfully. He pauses near the locomotive, waiting on the tracks, and talks to himself.
Oh, the humiliation of it.
Hello, Mum. What's the trouble?
Toad turns pitifully to the engine's driver.
How kind, sir. I am but a lowly washerwoman, and I've lost all my money, and I can't get home for a very important appointment.
Well, that is a very bad business indeed. You've lost your money, and you can't get home, and a whole family of kids waiting on you, I'll be bound.
Oh, hundreds of them, all starving.
and playing with matches and that sort of thing.
I tell you what, love. If you wash a few shirts for me when you get home, I'll give you a ride for nothing. Hop on, Grandma.
The engine driver boosts Toad into the cab behind the engine. Later, steam billows from the train as it rolls out of the station. The engine pulls a line of green passenger cars, and its chimney puffs out a plume of black smoke. Now police sound an alarm as a newspaper shows Toad's photograph.
Toad escaped! Read all about it! Toad escaped!
Nighttime on the train.
Thank you again, kind sir. When I get back, I will do any quantity of washing. You will have the brightest shirts on the whole Southern Railway.
You just hold on tight, Grandma.
The engine driver works the controls as a stoker shovels coal into the firebox.
That's it. Go on faster.
The driver spins a wheel. Toad grins.
Go on faster.
Faster, faster.
The stoker loads in more coal.
Faster.
The engine driver furrows his brow as Toad leaps up and leans out of the train. The driver stares at him. Toad comes back in.
Oh, when I get back, what a supper I shall have! A duckling and roast beef and piles of mashed potato!
What's that?
The driver leans out a window, frowning. A headlight glows on the tracks behind them.
I don't understand it. We're the last train running on this line tonight, but there seems there's another one right behind us.
Toad shrugs. The engine driver glances back at their pursuer.
And it's full of the queerest people. Warders and policemen all shouting, stop, stop.
His smile fading, Toad looks outside. A constable waves a baton on the other train. Fidgeting helplessly, Toad drops to his knees.
Oh, Mr. Engine Driver, I confess everything. I am not the washerwoman I seem to be. I have no children waiting for me. I am a toad. I have just escaped by daring and cleverness from a loathsome dungeon my enemies have me thrown in. And if these fellows on that engine there recapture me, it'll be chains and bread and water for this poor, miserable, innocent toad.
Now you tell the truth now. What were you in prison for?
Well, nothing much. Borrowing a car when the owners were at lunch. I would have brought it back had it not crashed.
Ooh, you certainly have been a wicked creature. And clearly I should give you up. But I'll not have people telling me what to do with my engine. Cheer up, Grandma. Full speed ahead!
Yippee!
Two more police try waving them down.
Stop this line!
As the locomotives steam across a bridge, the engine driver checks behind them.
They're gaining on us. Look, there's only one way to get out of this. As soon as we get over this bridge, I'll slow down and you jump off before they can see where you've gone. And then I'll lead them off as far as I can.
What? Jump? Without stopping?
It's your only chance.
Toad dangles one foot out, then recoils. He pinches his nose and tries to jump again.
Ow!
Toad slumps out of the train and rolls down a hill. He sits up with grass on his face. Daytime. Toad wakes up in a tree with leaves strewn over his grubby skirt and jacket. Blinking drowsily, he moves aside a leaf. A frown creases his ridged brow as he surveys the forest around him. Toad gets up. He scampers off. Later, a plump woman smoking on a canal barge spots Toad passing by.
Good morning, ma'am.
Ma'am? I beg your pardon. I dare say it is to them that's not in sore trouble. But here's me trying to get home to my 13 young children, and I've lost all my money, and I can't get home.
Where might you be headed?
Oh, just down the river, yeah, very near to a very nice house named Toad Hall. where I does the washing. I am in the washing and laundering line, as you may have guessed already, on account of my attire.
I'm going right past there. You come along, I'll give you a lift.
Toads in luck again.
Later.
You're in the washing business.
I do washing, ironing, clear starching, evening wear. I am a genius of the washing business. I do it all myself.
All yourself?
Yeah, well, I have my girls, but you know what girls are, Mum. Can't take your eye off anything. Anyway, once you've been brought up washing, you never lose a feel for the suds.
Well, what a regular piece of good luck.
Sorry?
I've got a right ton of washing down below. Go on, be my guest. I'd hate to see you up here idle, but you'll be down there enjoying yourself.
Oh, how could I deprive you?
No, no, I insist. Now, you shall do the washing you are so fond of. No. Now, you wouldn't deprive me extending my hospitality now, would you? Please, it would be my pleasure.
A smirk lifts the barge lady's ruddy cheeks.
Right then.
Grimacing, Toad steps into the barge and she shuts him in with a victorious smile. Toad wrinkles his nose at the piles of dirty laundry. A washboard rests in a wooden tub of murky brown water.
Any fool can wash.
He grabs a kettle. Gingerly, he picks up a different kettle.
Hot, 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 hot.
Toad pours its water into a pitcher, then drops the kettle in the wash tub. The pitcher slips out of his hands. He loses a bar of soap in the tub. He fishes out the soap, then drops it. Another slippery bar escapes his grasp. Toad finds the soap in the elbow-deep suds, then it slips away. He unearths the kettle and rejects it. Pouting, Toad dunks his head into the overflowing suds and searches. He fumbles with a bit of laundry. He wipes his face with laundry. The barge lady comes in.
Look at this! Call yourself a washerwoman? You've never washed a dishcloth in your entire life!
Toad glares.
You common low fat barge woman! Don't you dare talk to your betters like that! I am a toad, the very well-respected, distinguished toad of Toad Hall. Admittedly, I may be under a cloud at the moment, but I will not be laughed at by a barge woman!
Why, so you are. A horrid, nasty, crawly, fetid, filthy toad! Off it, off it! Off my boat, you overweight amphibian!
She chases Toad outside.
You web-toed cretin!
He climbs onto the top of the barge.
Pop-eyed, big-mouthed ball of slime!
That's it!
Toad leaps over a horse tied up by the barge. He runs off with it.
You come back here!
Toad struggles to mount the moving horse. A dog chases after him.
You lying toad!
Toad rides off.
The world has held great heroes, as history books have showed, but never a name to go down to fame compared with that of Toad. The clever men at Oxford know all that there is to be known, but none of them know half as much as intelligent Mr. Toad.
The horse gallops toward a fence. Toad yanks on the reins. The horse stops and Toad hurdles into the fence. The horse leaves Toad sprawled in the middle of the road. Sitting up, Toad straightens his bonnet and wipes off his dirty hands.
Oh, how will I ever get home now?
His eyes widen at the approach of a motor car.
Could that really be? A car! A car!
Toad stands and raises his hand.
Brothers of the wheel, I hail thee!
From a dozen yards away, the car speeds toward him.
Stop! Stop!
Toad covers his face as the car skids to a stop inches before him. It's the couple he stole the car from.
Oh, it is all over. I'm in chains again. No.
The driver stares at him.
I say. A poor washerwoman left on the road.
She looks in such distress. Come on, we'll give you a lift.
The passenger, a curly-haired lady, waves Toad over. Later, they ride together.
Oh, look. The fresh air is doing her good. She looks better already.
Oh, much better. Here, you don't suppose I could sit next to the driver, do you? Yippee!
They were towed into the passenger seat.
You don't suppose I could have a go for a little bit?
Toad and the driver switch places. Smiling affably, the driver tries to hold him back. Toad tightens his grip on the wheel and narrows his eyes. The car swerves.
Stop, you crazy washerwoman!
Washerwoman! I am no washerwoman, my friend! I am the toad! The motor snatcher! The prison breaker!
The driver grabs the wheel and they ride onto the grass. Resting control, Toad veers off the road. They bump across a field at full speed, heading toward the river. The driver and his lady flail in the water near the submerged car. He pushes the car, but it won't budge. Nearby, Toad's bonnet floats away. Now downriver, Rat and Mole doze off as they fish. Toad surfaces in front of them.
As usual, Toad comes out on top.
Rat and Mole gape.
The motor car went boop, boop, boop as it raced along the road. Who was it steered it into a river? Engineers, Mr. Toad!
Toad!
Ratty! Mole! Oh, what times I've been through. Such trials, such sufferings, but so nobly borne.
Now on shore.
I don't want to cause you pain. You've been through enough already. But seriously, you must understand what an awful ass you've made of yourself.
An ass? I broke and free from prison, disguised myself convincingly as one of the lower orders. I've washed linen, stolen a horse, and humbugged everybody.
And been jeered at, insulted, terrified, handcuffed, imprisoned, fallen in the water, chased off a barge by a woman. Tell me, why would you risk being a cripple, a bankrupt, a convict, all for the sake of a motor car?
Because it was fun! Awful fun!
Toad, you nearly killed yourself.
Oh, all right, I've been a conceited old ass. But I've decided you are right about cars. Stupid, unreliable machines. No, I've decided it's high time I bought myself a motorboat. Mm. So, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll be heading back to Toad Hall. Boop, boop.
He starts off.
Toad Hall.
Oh, Toad, haven't you heard?
Heard what?
Nobody's told you.
Tell me what?
About the stoats and weasels.
Stoats and weasels what?
The ones that have taken over Toad Hall.
Toad frowns at them.
When it looked like you were gone for good, there was a great deal of interest from the Wild Wood. We told them you'd be back.
They moved in anyway. They've been there ever since.
Oh, this is the end of everything.
They're there as we speak. Sleeping in till midday, drinking your wines, telling jokes about you, singing horrid personal songs about you with no real humor in them. They told the tradespeople that they were staying for good.
Oh, did they? Well, I'll jolly soon see about that.
Nighttime, they rode to Toad Hall's dock.
No, wait, Toad, come back. They're on to the teeth, man.
Weasel, stop him.
Who goes there?
Stuff and nonsense. How dare you? It's me, Mr. Toad. Now, jolly well get out of my way.
A weasel shoots into the sky. Toad scrambles back to the boat. Now the friends gather at Badger's house.
Well, it's pretty much as bad as it can be.
We've been around the house at all hours, and it's always the same. Sentry posts everywhere, guns pointing at us from all directions.
The only thing to do is to find a balloon and bomb them from above.
No, a balloon? Mm. I don't want to get into a balloon because they go up, and I like to be...
We need it. A tank. We need a tank. I can drive a tank.
Where are we going to find a tank?
A tank?
A tank.
No, we can't get a tank. Well, what's a tank?
Shut up, all of you, and listen. Yes, it's true. Toad Hall is armed to the teeth, and we have no hope of storming it directly.
Badger pushes himself up from his chair.
There is something that I have kept to myself for many, many years. There is a secret underground passage
leading to the main hall. Tonight, there will be a banquet for the Chief Weasel's birthday, and they will all be there, drunk as lords. No pistols, no swords, no sticks.
And we'll come at them with pistols and sticks.
And whack'em, and whack'em, and whack'em. And I will be Toad of Toad Hall once more. Affable.
He hits Rat by accident.
Oh, what times we'll have. I've been told that a fellow with my gift for conversation should hold a salon.
Shut up, Toad. We'll do this only if you promise to turn over a new leaf.
Anything to get Toad Hall back.
Badger studies Toad's face.
If you're lying, I'll fry you for breakfast.
But I would never, ever, ever, ever.
His friends ever, roll their eyes.
Ever, ever, ever.
Oh, don't start that again.
Badger checks a trunk full of weapons.
Sword for Rat. Sword for Mole. Sword for Toad. Sword for Badger.
Rat and Toad practice with their swords.
Pistol for Mole.
Maybe I could be a lookout or something, because, you see, I'm a mole.
He recoils from a sword.
Come here.
Badger takes him aside.
Everybody has to stand up and be counted at some time or another.
He gives Mole the sword.
Besides, you'll be a lot more use than Toad here. There's a good lad.
Yes. I'll learn him to steal my house.
Really, Toad, don't say learn him. Such bad English.
What's the matter with learning them?
Not learn them. It's teach them.
We don't want to teach them anything. We want to learn them a lesson.
Toad accidentally fires a pistol. Badger takes the gun away.
Crying out loud. Come on, let's go. Now follow me. And Toad, no chattering, or I'll send you back.
Toad cringes at Badger's snarl. As the friends start on their way, Mole lags behind and returns his sword to the weapons trunk. He hurries to catch up. Now Badger guides the group through the dark tunnel by lantern light. Rat follows closely, and Mole sweeps the beam from a lantern across their path. Toad walks a few feet behind. Badger stops him. Scowling, he leads them on through the flickering shadows and lantern light. Badger and Rat hold long sticks, and belts of ammunition crisscross Toad's chest. Mole grips the lantern with shaking hands. Badger and Rat study a fork in the tunnel. Toad startles Mole. Badger charges over, pointing his stick at Mole. Mole points to Toad.
That's it. Home.
It's not my fault. I didn't do anything at all.
I think I can hear something.
It must be directly under the hall.
As they stare upwards, Rat waves for them to follow him. Together, the friends creep up some stairs leading to the ceiling. Mole and Toad glance back nervously. They sit down on the top step underneath the trap door. Light filters through gaps in its wood.
Say, I'm gonna hand it to them, then I'm going for it, aren't I? Yes, let's have all this.
Now, boys, all together.
They peek through the trap door at partying weasels in Toad Hall.
And before I resume my seat, I just want to mention our kind host, Mr. Toad.
A dozen weasels laugh. Toad and his friends slip back into the tunnel. Rat and Badger restrain him.
I have composed a little song.
The friends open the trap door.
Mr. Toad and his friend Badger, bad, bad and fun, are thrilled to bits, but in my opinion, they are stupid little.
Enough is enough!
Badger throws open the trap door and climbs out with his friends. The weasels, whiskered men with slicked back hair, strike cat-like poses in their bare feet.
Toad and his friend Badger, eh?
The weasels pounce toward them, swiping the air. One of them turns a cartwheel. A weasel wearing an eye patch does a backflip. As his friends stand their ground, Mole inches backwards and bumps into a suit of armor. The weasels scatter throughout the room.
Seize the moment, Rabbit! Take the advantage, Mole! Get in there!
Badger shoves Mole into the fray.
Move it, move it!
He urges Toad on. Rat waves his sword. Badger strikes a weasel in the rear. Rat and Mole fend off biting weasels.
Whack 'em hard!
A weasel ducks Toad's clumsy assault. As Mole struggles to free his hand from some armor, he accidentally hits a weasel.
Sorry!
Don't apologize to him!
Rat charges at an opponent and gets his sword stuck in the wall. Badger sneaks up on a weasel.
Hello.
He smacks him with his stick. Amid the chaos, Rat struggles with his sword and Mole retreats from a hissing attacker. A bunch of weasels lift Toad and spin him around. Rat frees his blade and returns to the fight. Clutching a long stick, Mole retreats onto a table. As Rat storms a mezzanine, Badger roughly grabs a young weasel.
Come here, young fella.
Up above, a weasel escapes from Rat on a hanging rope. Below, Mole whacks a weasel by accident.
Sorry.
He hits another.
Find me.
That's it. Right where the weasel.
The weasels lower Toad and he pushes them off.
Go home to your mother.
Badger drops the young weasel through the trap door. On the stairs, Rat lunges and two weasels topple. Mole punches a weasel and Toad shoves one onto a gong. Rat surveys their fallen opponents. Toad flinches as a weasel cartwheels toward him. Mole jumps down and nudges his friend aside. Wearing a glove of armor and a steely gaze, he punches the weasel in the face. Mole and Toad gape. Nearby, the lead weasel slides down a rope.
Well done.
Badger notices the advancing weasel. Up on the table, the intruder removes his jacket, revealing a tattered red vest. Badger levels a fierce stare. The weasel hops down and waves his lean, muscled arms. Badger headbutts him.
Home, sweet home.
Later.
Well done, Chuck.
Yeah.
They clink wine glasses.
Especially young Mole.
Ah.
For your cleverness.
And bravery.
Fairly taken back with matchless valor. And the proper handling of sticks.
To the proper handling of sticks.
Yeah.
Big sticks.
Toad takes down a pirate's flag.
Thank you, every one of you. Welcome back to civilization.
He tries to drink from an empty glass.
We must celebrate. We must organize a feast where we all sing songs. And I can give one of my speeches on the prison system and the waterways of old England, etc., etc.
Sit down, Toad.
Yes?
Sit down.
Toad sits on the table.
Now, Toad, there will be no banquet, no songs or speeches.
You have to have speeches.
Toad, that's an order. You can have a few people around for a nice afternoon tea, but that is that.
That's just wonders.
No!
No!
What fun is life without a bit of showing off?
Toad looks to each of his friends and is met with shaking heads. He pouts at them. Now in his bedroom, Toad speaks to a row of empty chairs.
I don't do speeches anymore, I told you.
Oh, well, if you insist.
I have invited you all here today to meekly acknowledge the return of Toad Hall to its rightful owner, the quiet, modest, terribly good-looking me. Yes, me. And you will all be thrilled that I have composed one of my famous ditties, especially for your delectation. Toad came home at last.
There was a panic in the parlor and howling in the hall. There was crying in the cowshed and shrieking in the stall when Toad came home.
The chairs are dressed in clothes.
There was smashing in of window, crashing in of door, There was chivying of weasels who fainted on the floor when Toad came home. When Toad came home!
Thank you very much indeed.
He gazes forlornly at the empty chairs. Dressed in a bright plaid suit and bow tie, he appraises himself in a mirror. Toad dons a wavy brown toupee, grimaces, and turns away from his reflection. Now out on the lawn, Toad sulks at a sedate party. A gray-haired couple interrupts.
Terribly well done, Toad.
Yes, terribly well done.
Oh, Dr. Owl, it was nothing, really.
Really?
The badger did all the planning, and Mole and Rat took the brunt of the fighting.
His friend smiled.
Oh, Mr. Toad, how lovely to have you back.
Well, I'm very pleased you could
Toadie, come. I say, Toadie, aren't you going to do one of your rip-roaring speeches?
Toad hesitates as Rat, Mole, and Badger stride up, glaring.
No, I think my speech-making days are behind me, yes. You see, I don't really see the point anymore of useless frivolity, enjoyment, or over-enthusiasm. No, I have learned a great lesson. Do help yourself to non-alcoholic punch.
Toad wanders down to the river. Mole watches him with a softening gaze.
Do you really think we did the right thing? Maybe there's room for all types of animals.
Who knows? At least we'll have a quieter life.
Smiling, the friends toast and drink their punch. Down by the river, Toad trudges to the end of the dock and broods before the placid water. He knits his brow curiously and glances around. A biplane glides over the river and rises into the sky. Toad stares after it, open-mouthed. He yanks off his toupee. Spreading out his arms, Toad turns back to the party. Rat, Mole, and Badger gape at their friend. Toad weaves among the guests like an airplane, grinning madly and yelling in people's faces. Guests take cover as he zips by. Toad swings around a tent pole, then climbs onto an elegantly set table and kicks the bread basket.
The trumpeters are tooting, the soldiers are saluting, and the cannons they are shooting, and the motor cars are hooting as the hero comes.
Rat, Mole, and Badger set down their punch glasses and trudge away.
Each one of the crowd try and shout it very loud, in honor of an animal of whom we're justly proud, for it's Toad's great day.
He gazes up to the sky with his arms thrown wide. Our view rises over Toad Hall into the clouds. Words appear. The end.
Masterpiece Theater's The Wind in the Willows is available on DVD. The companion book to the program is also available. To order, call PBS Home Video at 1-800-PLAY-PBS.
This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Melissa Carlson, read by Wendy Sacchichini. For more about description, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Credits: Matt Lucas as Toad, Mark Gatiss as Rat, Lee Ingleby as Mole, Bob Hoskins as Badger, Imelda Staunton as Barge Lady, Jim Carter as Engine Driver, Anna Maxwell Martin as Jailer's Daughter, and Mary Walsh as Washerwoman. Executive producer for Masterpiece Theater, Rebecca Eaton. Copyright 2007, WGBH. A logo, WGBH Boston.
Masterpiece Theater was made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by contributions to your PBS station from viewers like you. Thank you.
A woman holds a baby.
We are PBS.
Be more PBS.